I want you to open your Bibles in a familiar passage of God's Word, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And God has laid this passage afresh in my heart. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, commencing to read at verse number 11. I said this morning I want to speak upon all of the devil's apples of worms. Verse number 11, Luke chapter 15. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field, his fields, to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Amen. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Way back in the year 1945, a preacher once preached upon the subject, All of Satan's Apples Have Worms. And as I looked at the introduction of that sermon, he said simply this, I do not deny that the devil has some pretty apples. I just say that all of them are fakes. And that often you bite, or after you bite into them, you will find that they have worms. Friend, I do believe with all my heart what that man said away back those years ago was very true. And I believe there's a story here in God's precious word in Luke's Gospel chapter 15 that is one of the most amazing stories that the Lord Jesus Christ has ever given. It is perhaps one of the most familiar. And yet it is a most powerful story. In actual fact, it's one of the most powerful pieces of literature that there is. It is the story of the prodigal son. And you will find this, as we come to this message tonight, that in this story you will find that every time the devil promises happiness to the sinner, he lies. That every time he tells the sinner that everything in the end is going to turn out all right, the devil lies. That every time he promises a sinner that he's going to give him liberty, he is going to give him freedom, he is going to give him independence, whenever you do your own thing and follow the devil's way, he lies. He's a deceiver. Friend, you know exactly what he simply is doing. What the devil is doing is simply proving what Jesus said, he is a liar from the beginning. The devil is a liar, John's Gospel, chapter 8, 44. He is a murderer, he's a liar. And so in the devil's ways, they may start sweet, friend, but I guarantee you they'll end up bitter. And whenever the devil makes his promises, they sound good to you, but I'll tell you this, they're vain, they're empty, because whenever it comes to the end, Vanity of vanity, emptiness of emptiness, all is empty, says the preacher. And when the devil promises you riches, let me tell you, the riches that he has, they're desirable, but in the end of it all, the devil will bring you to poverty. And whenever it comes to pleasures, let me say this, the devil's pleasures, and remember he has pleasures to offer you, but when the devil promises you that your pleasures will be enjoyable, and they will for a certain time, but I'll guarantee you this, as we see in God's Word, they'll end in grief. They always end in grief. And when the devil promises you happiness through sin, I want to tell you, your sin will bring you sorrow. Because the Bible says, sin when it is finished, it'll bring forth death. And therefore what I want you to notice tonight as we come to this message is this. No matter what the devil has to promise you, friend, in the end of it all, whenever the devil finishes with you, you will find that you have been duped, you will find that you have been deceived, but sad to say, most of all, you'll find that you're lost. And so I want you to notice this, that all the devil's worms, or all the devil's apples of worms, and what an awful tragedy that many are duped thereby. Let's first of all see the devil's ploy. In this 15th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, I want you to see a family. Now the family here is a father and two sons. It seems that death has taken his mother away. But in this family, listen, there's a united family here. Here's a father and he's got two boys. And this family have been united until one day a young man goes to his father and he says to his father, he says, Father, I want you to give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now, in actual fact, what it's saying here, there is a rebellion in this young man's heart. Because he's making demands. Of course, aren't we all? Isn't a sinner good at making demands of God whenever they're sick? Lord, heal me. Whenever they're depressed, oh God, please help me. Or if they're in trouble and their back's against the wall, oh God, I need you. And here's a young man and he makes demands of his father. And he says, Father, I want you to give me the goods that falleth to me. And so he makes a demand of his father. You see, my friend, life, in this young man's life, it's dull at home. And this young man has demanded of his father obedience. And the father wants his son to obey him. But there comes a time whenever there's a rebellion enters into the heart. And the rebellion becomes more evident. You see, there was a time whenever perhaps he suppressed his rebellion. But there came a day whenever he got the courage to actually openly rebel against his father. And he says, Father, you give me. He makes his demand. And is it not true that every young person goes through that stages too? Is it not true, my friend, that whenever a child is at home and whenever they realize that they have got to obey their parents, the Word of God tells us that we are to obey our parents, you know, there comes a rebellion in our hearts. And you know, people just, they don't like to be told what to do until the day comes that they feel, you know, I don't have to stick this anymore. I don't really, you know, I've outgrown this obedience part to my parents. I have a right to make demands. And I have a right to tell them what I want to do. And so here's a young man and he doesn't want to be under his father's thumb anymore because he has a desire, what he calls freedom. He has a desire for independence. And of course, the devil will put that into your heart, just as he put it into Eve's heart, that really she didn't need to be under God, and Adam didn't need to be under God's command of every tree but that one tree. And you know, the devil directed her eye to the one tree that God says, don't touch. And he said, you know, you should be independent. You really don't need to be under this rule of God. You don't need to be under this command. You can't touch this. Who does God think he is? You know, God's not really good because God's holding out on you. Because if God really loved you and God really cared, listen, he'd give you everything. There would be no restrictions in what God is going to give you, my friend. And you know what the devil does to young people today? The devil puts a rebellion in their heart and then the devil gives you a dissatisfaction. And it's not only because of your ordinary life, friend. Listen, even in your home and in your family, the devil puts a dissatisfaction in your heart that you just can't wait to get away. Somehow that's the place to be. Let me say something tonight about this young fellow, friend. Listen. The Word of God says that not, verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. All the father gave him, he gathered it all together, friend. In other words, he took all the blessings. He took all the giving. You know, we live in a day and age that young people today think that money goes in trees. I'm not going to get into a lecture on this, but let me say this. They think that somehow the parents, you know, that they have a responsibility. That no matter what age they are, even they're out working, you know, mom and dad, they just feed me just the same. Really, I have no responsibility. I don't need to give anything in for that. They just keep on doing it. Because as long as I'm under the roof, well, of course, I'm still the son. And therefore, I'm dependent. Even though they want independence. And here we find, here's a young fellow. Let me tell you this. Whenever the day when he demanded, he says, Father, you give me, and the Father give him. And whenever he got it into his hand, said, listen, he gathered it all together. Notice that. He gathered it all together. All that the Father gave him, friend, he gathered it all together. And the Bible tells us he took his journey into a far country. But here's a problem. Because in reality, this young lad's heart was already in the far country before his feet ever got there. We find that, my friend, here was a young man and his heart was already in the far country because faraway fields were green. And somehow, out there, there's independence. Out there, there's freedom. Out there, I can do whatever I like. Young people don't like to be told, you know, now listen, be home early. I don't know, it used to be whenever I was young, and I know you'll say, oh, here he goes. Because that's what they usually do, they roll their eyes and say, oh, we hear it all again. They used to end parties around at 11 o'clock, but they didn't only start them. They seem to have it upside down, backside forward. But friend, they're making a statement. Really, it's making a statement. We can do what we like. We just can do it in life. Independence, freedom. They don't worry about a mum or dad that's looking at the clock at home and wondering if their child's safe. Not, friend, it's not a matter of just making and giving instructions, but it's because they love you. You don't want your child hurt. And you're afraid that whilst you're sleeping there, your child's been hurt out there. And friend, let me tell you, and many are. Many are. But you don't see it that way. And here was a young man, and his heart was out there in the far country, friend. Listen, the devil always makes the far country beautiful. He always makes it beautiful. He always makes it sunny out there. He paints the far country in glowing colors. Attractive. And he goes out with plenty. Just do what you please. Come as you want. Go as you want. Just have a wheel of a day. Friend, that's the devil's ploy. Nothing has changed. You know what the Bible says? There is nothing new under the sun. Because that's the old ploy of the devil that is always made. Freedom. And I can see this young fellow as he thinks about, you know, he's got plenty now. And he said, you know, I really don't need to be here anymore. I'm not going to get any more from him. Therefore, I can go. And the Bible says, here's a young fellow, friend, and listen, he hasn't a thought. I don't believe there's a tear in his eye. Because all he thinks about is himself. And he gathers all the Father gave him, and he gathers it all together. And his feet sit it. The far country. And the devil paints all this pleasure. And boy, there's plenty to appeal out there, because make no mistake about it. The devil has plenty to offer to the appetite of the flesh. He's plenty to give. Now, the Word of God says this. He made his way into the far country, and he wasted his substance with riotous living. Friend, listen, there was no restraint. He lived it up. He lived it up. But friend, he wasted his substance. Notice that word, he wasted. All that the Father gave him, here's a young man, he wasted. I was down in Newton Arden last night. There was a young lady that used to sit in our youth fellowship. Way back when I came here, just shortly after I came, and a young lady came to our youth fellowship, a young girl. And she came up through the Sunday school and went to the youth fellowship. And then, friend, she left this neighborhood and went away down to that part of the country. I suppose in many ways, too, just to get away from the restraints at home and influences of the church. And she went away from the work of God and the house of God. And she said last night, as I was talking to her, she said, you know, I wasted so many years. I held a mission there a couple of years ago down in Newton Arge, and thank God through that mission, God started to work in her heart. She came back to the meetings because of her connection with this place, and thank God she came back to the Lord. But she grieves in her heart how she wasted precious years. Here's a young man, and listen, he follows the devil's ploy. My, the devil offers him the rosy apple. My, it's so beautiful. Everything in the garden is rosy. And I watch the young fella, and he walks away from home, friend, and there's not a care in the world. And there's a lilt and a step, and boys, there's a skip in him. And he's heading to the world. I'm going to get all that the world has got to offer. And there's no obedience anymore. And no restraint and hold back. And I'm going to live it up in my riotous living. The devil's ploy. But notice the deadly plight. Look at verse 14. And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. I'll tell you, the devil didn't tell him that in the story, did he? See, when the devil was telling about this wonderful far country, friend, I'll tell you, the devil didn't tell him that the apples that he offered was worms in them. You see, it seemed as if never would end. It would never be this way. The devil says, listen, you live it up and you will have freedom and happiness and independence. And it'll always be sunshine out there in the far country. Tell you the devil was a liar, wasn't he? The devil told him a lie. Because the devil's a liar. Because let me tell you, friend, verse number 14 was never in the devil's plan that he offered to the poor young man. And when he had spent all, you see, when he bit into the devil's apple, friend, he found the worm. Of course, sometimes you don't find the worm. Finding the worm is one thing, friend, but sometimes you don't find the worm because you've already eaten it. Unknown to you, you've eaten the devil's worm. Or I suppose something worse than finding a worm in the apple, as I said this morning, is finding a half worm in the apple because you have half of it in you. But listen, friend, you may have it all in you. The devil's worm is taking you down. And here we find, here was a young man, and he commits himself into the far country. And the Bible says he wasted. He wasted his substance. Wasting your time, wasting your youth, wasting your influence. Listen, I and many of you are wasting your bodies because of your sin. But of course, it's only a little bit of fun, isn't it? But friend, it's not so funny after all. Because the Bible said he became, or he began, to be in want. And in reality here's a young fella, and he was promised so much in the far country, friend, and now he has nothing. He spent all. And some of you, let me tell you, that's exactly what you're doing. There's some young people in this service tonight. And I tell you, friend, you're standing all you have in the far country. And you're living in the riotous living. And friend, let me tell you, maybe the family knows some of it. God knows it all. And you deep in your heart, you say, if my mother, if my father only knew just exactly the life I'm living, I tell you, they'd be sick. Let me tell you, God does know it all, and your sin turns God sick. And he spends all. And he has given himself and his substance to the far country. And the Bible says this, verse 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. In other words, he became his slave. And he sent him out into the fields to feed swine. There's the laugh. Because that's the world, let me tell you. The devil said, you do the laughing, friend. Let me tell you, the world's laughing at you. Because when sin takes a man so far, let me tell you, the world will laugh. You remember Judas Iscariot? Judas Iscariot, he loved the money, friend. And whenever he desired the 30 pieces of silver, just 30 paltry pieces of silver for selling the blessed Son of God, and the devil said, listen, Judas, you get it and put it into the bag, and boy, you'll enjoy the 30 pieces of silver. Until Judas Iscariot sold the blessed Savior for those 30 pieces of silver, friend, let me tell you. And you see, whenever he sold it, may I tell you, he realized what a fool it was. And he came back and he threw the money down and he said, what's that to us? They laughed at him. You see, sin will take you further than ever you thought you'd ever go. Nobody ever imagined, here's a young man and he's leaving home and he has gathered all together and his pockets are full. He's got plenty. He has a healthy body. And here's a young man, let me tell you, and he's empty and wasted and destroyed. And the Bible says he went and he joined himself to a citizen of a far country. And remember, Jesus is speaking to an audience of the Jews. And what Jesus was telling him, here was a young man, he had sunk so low. He was in the gutter. He was in the gutter of the pig. And to a Jew, that was the worst possible thing. The unclean animal. And that's what the devil will reduce you to, friend. Oh, he promises, listen. Remember what he said to Eve? He said, listen, you'll become as God. You know, the devil didn't promise he'd take you to the gutter. No, no, no. He'd take you to the heights. You're going to gain by sin. My, you're going to make yourself something by your sin. And the devil said, listen, Eve, you become as God. Never told her that she'd be driven from the garden. Never told her about the shame. Never told her about the fear. And so she wasted what God had given. And here's a young man, friends, listen. And he wants it plenty. And now the Bible said he had spent all. And there arose a mighty famine in that land. What land? The far country. But let me tell you, there'll come a day, I'll guarantee before God, the far country won't satisfy you anymore. Because all that the far country has got to give you, friend, there'll come a day when it'll all be wasted. And what the far country will do will mock you. There's not any laughter now. Listen, here's this young fellow. You see him sitting down. And his insides cutting out of him. He's hungry. He's starving. He said, I perish with hunger. And he sits down and then he reaches out for the swine's food. Why did he have to do that, friend? What about his friends? Look at them buddies. See them big fellas. The boys have cheered him on and said, come on, listen, you don't need to stay at home anymore. Listen,
You make a demand to your father and you get into the far country. We'll have a great time. We'll have enough. What about his friends? Where are they? Where are they mentioned in the story? I'll tell you about his friends. Go to verse 16. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. They weren't there anymore. And you know what the truth is this? When he had nothing more to give them, they didn't want them. They didn't want them. And I'll guarantee you, listen, the devil will take you and fill you with promises, friend, but the devil's apple of worms. The devil's a liar. And he promised you happiness, and he promised you pleasures, and he promised you success, and he promises you all these things. He promises you fulfillment in life. But there comes a sad end. All he gives. Let me just show you. Turn your Bible to the book of Proverbs, please. Book of Proverbs, just very quickly. And let me see just exactly how many worms is in the devil's apple. Go to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. And in chapter 5 it says, "As my son, attend unto my wisdom, bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge." Here's a father, and he's speaking to his son. And he's giving advice to his boy. Because having walked the road of life, he knows exactly, just exactly the pitfalls that are by the way. He says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end, her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell." Now what's the father saying? Here's a father and he's talking to his boy and he realizes the pitfall of a sinful woman. A harlot woman. And then it's hard to believe, let me say this to you, it's hard to believe that here's a man, and God has blessed him with a home and a family. And God has been good to him because the Bible says the children are the heritage of the Lord. But it's hard to believe that here is a man, listen, that can be led astray by a sinful woman. And make no mistake about it. Listen, her lips, the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb. Boy, she can talk good. She can smell good. And her mouth is smoother than oil. And it's hard to believe, but it's true, friend, how many men have been taken from the stability of their home and they've been led astray by a strange woman. They have been led as a magnet seems to draw them away. And the magnetism of this woman, because she is smoother, she's smoother than oil. Her mouth, her lips are smoother than oil. And my, this strange woman's lips, they drop as a honeycomb. And boy, she charms him. And it's sad to believe, but it's true, that this man that was once in a stable home and family relationship is taken away by this sinful harlot woman. And he leaves his wife and he leaves his family and he leaves his children. And he turns his back on them all. But that story has been written over and over. And over again. See, let me say this. Mother in the home has got responsibilities, and so She has got to carry out those responsibilities in looking after the children. Perhaps the man says, you know, she's looking after them and she's neglecting me. And here's this woman comes and she puts her arms around them and said, you know, you need a wee bit of loving. And you need a wee bit of care. And you know, I can do that better. Better. Let me tell you, friend, that's the harlot woman. But there's always an end. The Bible says, listen, it says her end is as bitter as wormwood. Oh, the bitterness. Oh, the sorrow. Oh, the grief. And a man turns his back upon the wife and the love of his youth. And he turns his back upon the family. And he can't look straight in the eyes of his children. And it says her end is as bitter as wormwood. And her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of hell. The devil's apples. Ah, it may charm him. You know, it's amazing just how flattered a man can be. Maybe he's getting on and here's a charming young woman comes and she just flashes her eyelids. And his head goes. Then let me tell you, his heart goes. And then his family goes. And God warns us about her. Turn to chapter 9. Chapter 9, go to verse number. In chapter 9, verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple. Knowing nothing. She sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in a high places of the city. Boy, she doesn't mind being seen. Isn't she so brazen? Used to be, you know, that if a woman was looking at somebody else's husband, she would sort of have a sort of shame about it. No shame anymore. She's a shameless hussy. And she sits at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of a city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in thither. It's only a simple man. It's only a fool that will turn in. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eateth in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there. Boy, she'll kill your happiness, friend. She'll kill your family relationship. And the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. But what about pleasures? Doesn't the devil offer you pleasures? Young man, listen, you know, the devil is so crafty. And Maya just seems to be so wonderful out there in the world. And everybody seems to be laughing. And everybody seems to be having a wonderful time. And Maya, there's plenty of people gathered round you. Not this young man. Because never he came to the end of himself and came to the end of his resources, there was nobody around him at all. But turn to the book of Proverbs quickly. Proverbs chapter 14. Let's go to verse number 12. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful. Well, there's many a smiling face, friend. And I want to tell you to put on a good show. Well, there's a broken heart. I was telling the folks in Newton Ard last night, some years ago there was a doctor. A man came to visit this doctor. He was in a very bad state and seemed to be that he was very ill. He says, doctor, I want you to examine me. I want you to examine me carefully because, doctor, there's something seriously wrong. He's waiting for the doctor to say to him about he had cancer or some serious disease. So the doctor checked his lungs and he checked his blood pressure and he checked his heart and he checked all the things that needed to be checked. And then he turned to him and he said, I want to tell you, man, you're not sick. I can find nothing. He said, my honest opinion is you're just run down. And he says, you're tired. He says, you're somewhat depressed. You're unhappy. And I'll tell you what you need. It's not a tablet. He says, I'll tell you what you need. He says, do what I did the other day. He said, the other day, he says, I went to the circus. And I went to the circus. There's a circus in town. And he said, listen, I went to the circus. I took time out of the surgery. And I went to the circus. And let me tell you, I spent two of the greatest hours I've had for years. He said, I went there. And he says, there was an old boy there in the circus, the old clown. And he said, the old clown, listen, I never laughed as much in my life. He says, he tripped over his feet. He said there were 10 times the size they should be. He tripped over his feet. He said there is this mask upon him. And boy, he was the funniest I've ever seen in my life. And he says, I laughed. And he says, I laughed until I nearly fell out of the chair. Such are the antics of the old clown. He said, he had the funniest mask on his face. He did the funniest things. And he says, to tell you, my advice to you is this. Don't take a tablet. Go to the circus and watch the old clown. He says, doctor, is that your prescription? He says, it is. He turned to him and he said, doctor. He says, I'm sorry, that won't work. He says, I tell you, it will. It's bound to work. He said, it worked with me the other day. He said, doctor, listen, it won't work. He says, I am the clown. Friend, let me tell you, you can do your old antics and you can fall over your feet and you can laugh and you can do all. Listen, the Bible tells me this, that even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. Even with all the pleasures that the world has got to offer you, friend, listen, they won't last. Because even the devil's pleasures may be painted in the rosy apple. But it's all a deception. For the devil's apples of worms. One last thing here as far as... Turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 23. And we live in a society, friend, to be quite honest, that men and women in our society are caught up with drink. It seems to be that you can't have anything today, but there has to be booze at it. And if you want to be somebody, you've got to have a glass in your hand. And the devil paints, boy, he paints the drink with such fascination. And what the drink will do to you. Turn in Proverbs chapter 23. Please go with me quickly to verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. See, the devil didn't tell you that when he's painting you the fascination of the glass. What fun you'll have! What happiness you'll have! What enjoyment you'll have! But that's not what the Holy Ghost says. Then verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his colour in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent. It stingeth like an adder. Here's a prodigal. And the Bible tells me that he went into the far country and he wasted his substance with riotous living. Listen, he lived for pleasures, for women, and so. But the devil didn't tell him it wouldn't last. Now it's gone. Now it's gone. His friends are gone. His food's gone. For sin will take you further than you want to go. Very quickly tonight, let's look at this decision prompted. Because sitting beside that old swine trough, The lad, the Bible says, verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? And he said, I perish with hunger. And this is what the young lad had to decide to do, friend. He says, I will arise and I'll go to my father. You know what he had to do? He had to throw the devil's apple away. He had to throw it away. And here's a young man and he weighs it all up. And he's sitting down there at the swine trough. And as he sits in the white swine trough, and he fain would fill his belly with the husks that the swine would eat. And the first time he thinks of home, and he remembers the Father's house, and he remembers the Father's table, and he remembers the Father's love. And as he sits there, he weighs it all up. And he faces the facts. And he resolved in his heart, he said, I will arise and I will go to my father. Now listen, friend, we're nearly finished the meeting tonight. I want you to do something honestly now in the service. I want you to weigh the facts. Here's the facts. Here's what God says. The wages of your sin is death. The wages. Listen, God will pay you out. Don't worry, God will pay you. You'll get your wages. You, in other words, will get your just reward. Whenever it talked about the man who brought the servants in and he gave them their wages, listen, he gave them justly. And God will pay you justly. The wages of your sin is death. Listen, will your sin pay? Will the life of your pleasures pay? Listen, will it last? You're out in the far country. You're living in sin. You're living in pleasures. My, you're living in rebellion against God. Now come on, weigh the facts tonight. What will it pay? What's the payout? The Word of God also says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The Word of God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, God says, that shall he also reap. Now listen, weigh it carefully, friend. Be honest before God. Don't be a fool. Because here's a lad and he's sitting at the swine trough and he thinks of home and he thinks of plenty and he thinks of what he has left behind. And he's friendless. And he's practically foodless. And he has nothing. And he says, in my father's house there's plenty and to spare. And he says, I'll play the fool no more. He says, I'm going home. Here's the last thought, the delightful performance. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He found the father loved him still. He took himself into the far country. The father never sent him there, friend. The father gave him all that he could. But he just gathered together and lived for himself. But thank God he arose and he came to his father. Let me ask you a question. Will you leave your sin tonight and go to your father? I'll guarantee it in this pulpit, I'm saying it clearly. Listen, sin will not pay you dividends. The devil's apples have worn. Ask David. Just ask David. David, did your sin pay? And I see David, the tears are running down his cheeks. Yes. My sin paid. A dead baby. A spoiled daughter. A murderous son. And a boy hanging in the tree. That's how sin paid me. Until God forgave him. I wandered far away from God. Listen. As young people brought up in our Sunday school, friend, and listen, be honest before God, you have wandered far away from God. You're far from the Father's house tonight. You may be sitting in it, but you're far from it. Listen. You know where your mind is in the far country. You know where your heart is in the far country, friend. Listen. And you know there's pain there. For at times you felt it. You know there's heartache there. You know that sin, when it's finished, it'll bring forth death. You know the wages of your sin, for God has said it. The wages of your sin is death. But just like that young man, you were deceived by the devil. It wasn't to be this way. It was to be fun. It was to be liberty. Now he's a slave. It was to be laughter, and now he's in tears. It was to be plenty. But there's absolutely nothing. Are you willing to say tonight, before God, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. The young lad made his way. And he found the Father waiting for him. You know what you'll find tonight? God's waiting for you. He loves you. If you only knew how much God loves you, friend. His arms are outstretched. He says, come. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you ever want to pay. Heavenly Father, by thy Holy Spirit, speak to hearts in this gathering. Show them tonight that you're a merciful God, you're a loving God. You're a God with arms outstretched in compassion and pardon. But God, they've got to come. And Lord, we thank you. This young man said, I will arise, and he arose and came. Please, God, in this service tonight, may some young man rise from their seat, or some young woman, realizing the devil's only duping them, deceiving them, wants to damn them. Help them to come. Thank you, Lord, you'll run to meet them. Though they've sinned against you and your love. As their heads are bowed and their eyes are closed tonight, there's people all over this gathering. Friends, listen. There's people who have backslidden. Friend, before God, let me tell you, maybe nobody else knows it, but you do. You've got to come home. You've got to come home tonight. And their sinners not saved. And let me tell you, God has been so good to you, and you've been demanding so much of God, friend. But you've been giving him nothing in return. Let me tell you, you've got to come to him. You've got to leave your sin. You can't go on anymore, friend. Stop been duped by the devil. Stop playing the devil's game. Listen, you're not making it to heaven on your own. You will never be there on your own. You need Jesus Christ and you need to run to him because you may never hear his call again. And while the voice of God is calling, be in time. We're going to sing a verse of a hymn tonight. I want to sing that little verse, just as I am without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come. And if there's someone here in the service, man, woman, boy, girl, God knows your heart and God knows your state. Listen, be honest with God tonight. If you want God's blessing upon your life, if you want God's power in your life, if you want God's pardon, then you've got to face the facts tonight. Stop fooling. Some of you are playing games with God, friend. Listen, let me tell you, I'll guarantee you, you'll lose. The devil has promised you can sin and somehow get away with it. And the devil's a liar. He's a liar. He always has been. And he's lying to you as he lied to that young man. Lord, I'm coming home just as I am. Just as I am without one plea. Is there one tonight in our service? Be honest before God tonight. You lift that hand right now and indicate that desire. God knows the need and God knows what you're settling in his presence tonight. Is there a father, mother, son or daughter, older, young person? And just right now, you lift that hand and indicate it to God, friend. I'm making it home. I'm coming home. Just as I am and waiting not, friend. Don't wait a second longer. Don't fool around in God's time. Just as I am and waiting not. Is there someone in the closing moments of this meeting, friend? We're here to help you. But one dark blot to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. Thank God you can be clean tonight. Is there one before we close? Just lift that hand above your head. Indicate that desire, friend. Come on, be honest with God. The Lamb of God, I come. I want to do business with God, friend. Honestly, before God, are you not willing to come to him? Are you willing to fool around for another time? He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Will you come? God's people are still in quiet. Is there one in this service before this meeting closes? Say, God, I'm doing business with you tonight. I come. Just lift that hand right now. Quietness of God's presence. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name. Thou who art sovereign, thou who art holy, and thou who art compassionate. I ask in Jesus' name that you'll step into the service tonight, and as those who turn their feet to go away from thee, O God, in Jesus' name, stop them. Those whose hearts have been touched, who are thy children, and they walk in disobedience, and they walk in sin, I pray in Jesus' name, stop them and turn their hearts to Jesus. May this be homecoming night. May many come home for Jesus' sake. Amen.